with my brother, who was Jim Fox, who was in doing camp ministry at the time, and I came up to see him. And I grew up hunting and fishing in Smithfield, Tennessee, and skiing on Center Hill Lake, so I know this area fairly well. And it's a joy for me to be here today with you. And I was just so glad to see that Alan Jackson got saved and is a member of your church now. You can tell who doesn't listen to country music. That was good worship. I get a little frustrated with churches because, you know, I live overseas and I don't get to worship in my heart language as much as I would like just because of the nature of some of the things I do. And so when I get to sit in a worship, this is the second time I've sat through this worship service, and I worship just as much the second time as I did the first. I could sit and listen to that all day, not listen to it, participate in it. So it also makes me think of people who don't have that. You know, forget that they don't have the gospel. You know, that's, we need to share the gospel, but they don't have a church. The end goal is not the gospel. Matter of fact, the end goal is not even the church. The end goal is the kingdom of God in every place. But the church is the vessel for that. And it's not that there are, we preach a lot and we teach a lot that there are lost people and they need to hear the gospel. No, they don't just need to hear the gospel. God will save them. God's going to send some of y'all on this trip. I'm confident of that. God's going to send other national workers from around the world and help reach the lostness of India. But do they have a church? We're not just trying to reach people with the gospel. We're trying to plant incubators where children are raised up and nurtured in the Word of God, and where the body of Christ, just like you saw on stage here, is every member working out their part, their spiritual gift. That's where it takes place, in and through the church. And here's my little church right here. This is my family. Shiloh is on the left. She's 19. She's out in California at a Baptist university there. That's Isaiah, who was born in India. That's my wife, Vicky, of 23 years, who babysat Deanna when Deanna, your minister music's wife, when she was a girl. Y'all just got here, so I'm just telling them your name in case they don't know you. Meet your minister of music. I know your name. I don't know his name. Andy? Andy's, your parents are from the church where we're staying right now. First Baptist, Collierville. Small. It's a small world. You know that book that says 6 degrees of separation? Well, in Tennessee, it's like 2 degrees of separation. If you go to 3, you're probably related. All right? So then we have Salem that I'm holding, and then my he's 4. And then Elijah, he's 21, and he's in college down at Blue Mountain, Mississippi. So let me just tell you about India. Kelly tried to rob all my good stats, but this next slide here, it's India's third in size and second in population of India's 29 states. It's half the size of Texas with a third of the U.S. population. Just so we're clear, India is the highest concentration of lostness on the planet. I believe there's lostness all around. I believe in reaching people at home, but India is the highest concentration of that. They have about 2,000 people die every day in my state without Christ. We need 100 churches started every day for the next 10 years to reach just a tithe of the people. I've actually prayed, Brother Scott, for a tithe. God, give us a tithe of the people. And it would take 100 churches every day for 10 years for that to happen. So the good news is I don't have to do that alone. God's got a harvest there. If 1% of 1 billion people are saved, then you've got a lot of people to train and equip to share the gospel. And then also the good news is in South Asia, people love North Americans. The majority of South Asia love to meet and have a cultural exchange with a North American. They're interested. Many of them have never met a North American. And so it gives us opportunity and access to share the gospel and the good news and start churches in areas that have never been reached. In our own city, in my own city that I live in, within 15 miles of my home, there are more people than Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia combined within 15 miles of my doorstep. So when I say high concentration of people, I mean the apartment complex I live in can house 30,000 people in 100 acres. I live in a high rise, 14th floor. And all I wanted to do was own a houseboat on Center Hill Lake when I was 18 years old, you know? So God's changed my heart. And I pray that he will change yours and help you and encourage many of you to get involved and come into South Asia. Some of what you will be doing on the trip in January is this right here. It's what we call a push. A push is basically helping someone jumpstart their car. You don't own the car. You don't drive the car. You're just the grunt behind it pushing. Well, come be a grunt in South Asia, all right? We take national pastors. We help train and equip them better to reach unreached areas around them. We don't want to go into a new place by ourselves. We want to go into a new place with nationals because they are the ones that will continue the Bible studies. They are the ones that will help grow the church there in those local communities. So when you come, and I pray you will, you'll go out for 5 days. You are those non-local pastors and disciples who come together to help the local people plant churches in their areas. And you were doing that based on Luke 10 and a lot of other scripture, where we're going to every city, praying, going, finding persons of peace. When we say persons of peace, we're talking about people who are receptive to the gospel and opening their home to us. So there's a lot of preparation that happens before your team gets there. So before January, there'll have been several meetings. That's that red spot you see up there. There'll have been several meetings where nationals are training other nationals in how to share the gospel, where we're mapping areas that are still unreached and do not have a church or any known believer. And we're writing them down, and we're saying to the local pastors, if you could write down 12 names of villages, not people, villages that do not have the gospel, they'll write them down. Then we'll say, pick 3 of those villages you would like to see a church in this year. Those are the type of people you'll be working with. The nationals have picked those villages, and we've prepared them. And then you come in that second spot, orange, where it says the Luke 10 push itself. For 3 to 5 days, we'll go out into villages. You'll meet with your team. You'll have a translator. And you'll go out. And by God's grace, you will not just see people come to faith. You will actually help start churches. I know that seems unbelievable. But it's believable. I'm not a gambling man. But if you leave, if a church leaves my country that I live in without seeing a church started, I'll give them $1,000. I'll give $1,000 to their offering of their church. That's how firmly I believe. I don't say that in jest or joking or in slight. I mean, I'm that confident in the Lord. The Bible says the harvest is... Now, I know y'all know this verse. The Bible says the harvest is... Well, then we're selfish people. Why can't we get to see some of that? Amen? I mean, what do you think plenty is? Right? I mean, we don't have good red meat over in India. You know, we don't have Sonic in India. So when I came back to the U.S., I didn't want a little burger. I wanted a serious Sonic burger.